Encourage you to take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 6 is where we'll be again, once again today. We were there last week looking at a miracle that has occurred in the Gospel of John, the feeding of the 5,000. Today we're going to begin reading in the 15th verse of John chapter 6. A message titled, Turning Our Despair into Peace. We've talked about trouble. We've talked about hard times. We've talked about difficulties coming to our life. We've been talking about despair that comes into our lives. We saw the storms flashing on the screen just a few moments ago as the troubles invade us and invade our lives and make us uncomfortable. It causes us to stretch our faith and to exercise our faith in ways that, well, maybe we're not used to doing. Someone has once said, if you're not going through a storm in your life right now, then you probably just came out of one. If you hadn't just come out of one, you're probably about to go into one. So I don't know where you stand right now, but chances are there's something in your life that you need to trust God to take care of. And I want you to recall that as we have been singing about in the presence of Jehovah. Think about the things that are consuming your mind right now. Is it the things of God or is it the things that are trying to draw you away from God? And I pray that this morning the Word of God will bring us closer to Himself. Look, if you will, in John chapter 6, beginning in the 15th verse. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take Him by force and to make Him king, He departed again to the mountain by Himself alone. And when evening came, the disciples went down to the sea, and they got into the boat and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. But then the sea arose because of a great wind was blowing. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But He said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." And then they willingly received Him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Let's ask the Lord to bless the reading of His Word. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank You again for this day. Thank You for Your love for us. And thank You for Your presence in our life and the encouragement that that brings, especially when the storms of life are howling all around us. Lord, help us learn from this miracle today. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. For those that haven't been here, we've been studying through the miracles recorded in the Gospel of John. We've got a couple left as we come into, let's see, next week is Mother's Day, that's right. Next Sunday morning is Mother's Day. And then the 18th will be the final series of our, well, sermon of our series from the Gospel of John. But we've looked at each individual miracle up to this point, and we've learned some great truths about God and how we can trust Him all the more. And it seems like that's what they do. It seems like when we see these miracles happen, and what it's causing us to do is look beyond the actual miracle that's taking place and causing us to trust more and more in Jesus. And that's the whole purpose of the Gospel of John, that we can see Jesus for who He really is. They always say if you got somebody interested in finding out more about the Christian faith, they're curious about the faith, or maybe even a new Christian, where should they start? Should they start in the book of Genesis and try to work their way through the Old Testament, then get to the New Testament to feed themselves? No, a lot of times we say the best book to start with is the Gospel of John because it presents Jesus in His clearest form. And we see this in the miracles that we've looked at thus far and the other miracles that we'll look at later. Today we're going to look at six anchors to hold you secure in the midst of the storms. You've got a place on your bulletin there on that insert. You can take your sermon notes with it there. But what I'm going to give you is six anchors that you can hold to keep you secure while you're in the midst of a storm. So I'm not in a storm right now. Well, one's coming. You just came out of one. You can remember these difficult times in your life. If you record and write down these six anchors, it'll help you understand what you're going through. It'll give you the strength to get through and give Jesus all the praise and the glory for being there for you, for securing your faith, for bringing you through. So six anchors are found in this text this morning. I know that's double the three there, but it won't take long. We're not going to spend a lot of time on each point. But the points, the six anchors we brought up on the screen, I'm going to give you some more information about them as they come up. The first one is this, that we are governed by His providence. We are governed by His providence. You might want to write "we are" at the top because it applies to all six of these anchors. We are governed by His providence. What is His providence? That's the guidelines by which God operates with. We say God can do anything he wants to, and he can. It's in his sovereignty to do anything that he desires. He can do all things. There's nothing impossible for God. That his sovereignty is the overarching characteristic of his being, of who he is. He's a sovereign God. He can do whatever he wants to. But he's chosen to give certain guidelines to operate his universe with. Gravity falls within the providence of God. The Bible falls within the providence of God. And the way that he has given us to know Jesus is in his divine providence. Could he receive us into his fellowship in any other way? Well, perhaps he could have, but this is the way he's chosen to do things. This is his providence. This is the way he works. And one thing you can write down on your list underneath that governed by the providence of God, that storms will come in your life. Storms are a part of life. Write it down like that. Storms are a part of life. There's no way around some of these storms. I wish I could say that there was. I wish I could steer you clear of a storm as a ship looking at a storm coming on the radar. But sometimes they come up so fast even they can't avoid the storms. But we see this demonstrated in the first few verses. Verse 15 says, "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, he departed again and went up to the mountain alone." This is right after the feeding of the 5,000. Everybody had just been filled and fed. Oh, fed and filled, I guess I should say. Well, from the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. How many basketfuls of fragments were left? There were 12, weren't they? God provided in a tremendous way in this previous miracle in the feeding of the 5,000. And now he says that he departs from them because he didn't want to be forcefully made king just because of what he could do. It's because of who he is why he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And verse 16 says, "Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. They got into the boat and went over to the Sea of Capernaum. It was already dark, and Jesus had not come yet then. But then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing." I'm sure you've heard many times on the Sea of Galilee how these storms can come up out of no time because of the geographical features around the Sea of Galilee. Storms can blow up in no time. And these were expert fishermen. They know how these storms can come up all of a sudden, out of the blue, just because of the way a wind can shift and create violent storms in just a matter of time. Storms are a part of our life. We can look at what God has done to use storms to alleviate the drought in our society, in our world, in our culture right here in Morrisville just over the past few months, can't we? Nobody likes to hear about the storms going through the Midwest. But a lot of times when they get to this area here, the storms die down to some degree. Maybe the wind's strong. Maybe we have a tornado or two in the area. But what happened to the lake levels every time the storms came? The water rose up 2 or 3 inches. It rose up 2 or 3 inches. It rose up 2 or 3 feet. It was a part of life, and it's something that we needed to have. We needed to have that healing rain. It's a part of life. Jesus, surely he knew this storm was going to happen. He's God. And the disciples knew that it was a possibility from the very beginning because they had been on that sea before. But the amazing thing about this part is, and this point is, that they were sailing by the order of Jesus. Listen to what Matthew's account says about it in Matthew 14, verse 22. "And immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away." So before he even went up to the mountain, we see here Jesus made his disciples. He constrained them to go is what the King James says there. He constrained them to go. He told the disciples, "You need to get in that boat and you need to start heading over to the other side and I'll meet you over there." It was Jesus' idea. And he knew the storms were going to come, but he also knew the storms would not hurt them. He knew that they could be strengthened by the storm. He knew the outcome. We're governed by his providence. When a storm comes into your life, he knows the storms are coming. Nothing catches him by surprise. Like, oh my goodness. Was he awake on 9/11 back when the planes hit the World Trade Center? I don't think so. He knew what was happening. He within his providence here, for some reason or another, it could be used for his glory to strengthen a nation, to strengthen Christians all over the world. I don't know what you're facing right now, but you're not surprising God with your difficulties. You're governed by his providence. Second anchor is we are growing by his plan. Well, we're growing by his plan. We grow through trouble. Trouble helps us grow. Do you understand how that works? Troubles makes us be stretched or enlarged. Listen to what David, the psalmist, says in Psalms chapter 4, verse 1. You might want to write that down. You might need this sometimes. Psalm 4, 1. Just write that. You can write down the verse later. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. You've enlarged me while I was in distress. That's what David said. You've enlarged me. You've made me stronger when I've gone through the difficult times in my life. Can you think back at times in your life, in your spiritual journey, that God has stretched you, God has enlarged you, He has made your faith stronger because of something that you've gone through in the past? Polly's here today, and she's just recovering from heart surgery, and she's trusted in the Lord with all of her strength in that aspect of it, and it's stretched her, it's enlarged her faith. Maybe you face a difficult surgery. Jane's with us today, and she just had surgery last week, and she's doing well now. Well, last Sunday morning, as a matter of fact. So last Sunday, she was having surgery. Actually, Sunday afternoon. It was a little late, weren't they? But nonetheless, you've gone through something that you had to trust in God to provide for you, and God has brought you through. Anytime we have to do that, it enlarges us. It strengthens us. A time that we had no choice but to trust in God. Those times are good for the life of a Christian. That's the key. We've got to learn to trust in Jesus. We grow by His plan. He's got it all worked out for our good. It's kind of like the old illustration of a muscle and your faith. The more you work your muscles, the stronger they get. The more we work our faith, the stronger our faith gets. But I found out a little over a year ago, I hadn't found out recently though, but when you go to a gym and start working out, you hurt in places you ain't never hurt before. Why is that? You think you're all right. I'm using my arms all the time, and I'm moving around quite a bit. And you go work out in the gym, and then you wake up the next morning. You think, "What in the world happened to me? I must have a disease or something." Well, why is that? Because you're working muscles that you don't normally work. And we exercise our faith in the same way. We can be faithful in some things, but when God stretches us or enlarges us through His plan, sometimes that causes us to have to trust Him in areas we haven't had to trust Him before. Maybe in your household, you've always been blessed financially. You've never had a struggle with money, never had a problem paying your bills. You've always been able to get whatever you needed or whatever you wanted or whatever it may be. And then you find yourself in a situation, well, that's not true anymore. And now you're being stretched in an area you've never been stretched before. Maybe you've had a healthy family, you've been blessed, and you've had healthy family and healthy children, but then all of a sudden you have a sick child, and you say, "I'm not used to this." God's stretching you in another way, another area to exercise your faith. Somewhere you thought you had it covered all to yourself. But God needed you to know that you need to trust in Him in all things. Growing in His plan. Oh, think about this for a minute. Remember when Caleb and Joshua went to the spies with the other spies, you know, and they came back and they made their report and they said, "We can take them." And the other spy said, "We can't take them." And so they didn't enter to the promised land and they had to wander in the wilderness and all that. Do you remember the account of that? This is what Caleb said. Caleb said, "Rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of this land, for they are bread for us." Now, we just got through looking at the spiritual bread last week when we was talking about the feeding of the 5,000. These difficulties here are to make us grow. Caleb is saying, "We'll eat these guys for breakfast. They're the breakfast of champions." Now, if you trust in Jesus, the troubles in your life can be the breakfast of champions in your life as well. You can overcome these things through the power of God, but only through His power. Oh, we are growing by His plan. The third anchor you need to hold on to. We are graced by His prayers. We are graced by His prayers. Verse 15 says, he perceived that they were about to take him. He went up and departed again into the mountain by himself alone. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23 says this, and we had set the multitudes away. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was there alone. So he's up on top of a mountain. The disciples are getting ready to get in the boat to go across the sea to meet Jesus on the other side. But where did Jesus go? He went up to the top of the mountain to pray. Here he is. He's up on top of the mountain. He had a perfect view of the Sea of Galilee where he was on top of that mountain. Mark chapter 6 verse 48 tells us this. And he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now it was about the fourth watch of the night. He came to them walking on the sea and would have passed by them. He was right there. He witnessed it. He saw it for himself. And the thought here is that from that mountaintop he was at, even before he walked on the sea, he could see the straining that they was going through. The scripture says they had gone, what, 2 or 3 miles, 3 or 4 miles, verse 19 says. They had traveled that far, 3 or 4 miles, rowing in a boat with the wind going in their back. And just can you imagine the sweat and struggle that they're going through as they're facing this hardship, this trouble, this storm that they're facing. But yet Jesus told them, get to the other side and get to the other side. They were devout to do what Jesus told them to do. But through all this, Jesus had a perfect view. He's aware of what you're going through. He saw them straining, according to Mark. He saw them as straining and rowing, and the wind was against them. He witnessed this for themselves. He was there, but he was also there praying for them. He was aware of what they're going through. His eyes were on them, but their eyes were not on him. His eyes are on you as well. We're graced by his prayer. The Bible says he's praying for us. Back in the elders' classroom, they've got a nice prayer list on their chalkboard in there. And you can see, you go into their room, you can tell who they're praying for every Sunday morning as they go through their prayer list. And you can take confidence to know that if your name's on there, you're being prayed for. I have no doubt at all that that's not a great class of prayer warriors in the elders' Sunday school class. You got a prayer list on the back of your insert sheet of things that people in the church are praying for. And you've made that list. You're there because there's a concern. And if you're not there, and you should be, it's just an oversight. But people are praying for you. It's there, and it's good to know that you're being prayed for. I like to know that I'm being prayed for. It encouraged me when somebody walks through the door and tells me, Pastor Myron, I've been praying for you extra special this week. It just thrills my soul to know that. But oh, how great it is to know that Jesus is praying for me as well. Remember what Jesus told Peter whenever Satan desired to sift him like wheat? He said, well, I'll be praying for you that when you make it through on the other side, you'll be stronger than ever. Oh, Jesus knows what we're going to be up against. He knows for some of you this week, you may be about to face one of the difficult weeks of your lives. But he's there for you. He knows you've got to go through this trial for some reason or another. That somehow or another it's a part of his plan to strengthen you and to stretch you. But even now, he's praying that you'll get through that and you'll remain faithful to him. We're graced by his prayers. I can't think of anything sweeter than being graced by the prayers of God. I can't think of a stronger anchor to know that God is praying for us. Our fourth anchor, we are gladdened by his presence. We are gladdened by his presence. Look at 19 and 20. And it says, so when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid, but he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. Now think about what's happening up to this point. They're there. They're in the storm. They're struggling with all their might. They're thinking about all that has happened maybe in the past with the bread and the loaves. They've seen the miracles that Jesus has done. But at this point, because they're in the midst of the trial, they've forgotten about the miracle. They've forgotten what Jesus has just done a few hours earlier in the day. Jesus had not forgotten them. He was already looking over them. We saw that in the book of Mark. He had a bird's eye view of their situation. He knew what they were going through. But they had forgotten him. Mark chapter 6, verse 51 and 52. And when he went up into the boat to them, the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. Listen to what verse 52 of Mark chapter 6 says. It says this, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. What are we talking about loaves now? That was the last miracle. What in the world are they thinking about now? They think, why would they be thinking about loaves when they got this wind coming after them? Why would they be thinking about that now whenever their life is in peril right now? Why would they be thinking about bread? This is no time to eat. But remember I said a little while ago they had 12 basketfuls of leftover fragments? Remember that? We never really see what happened to those 12 baskets. They'll say where those basketfuls of bread, the basket of bread was that was left over. Perhaps 12 disciples, 12 baskets of bread. Pretty cool, huh? They just finished. They're going across the sea to meet with Jesus. Perhaps each one of those apostles could have had a basket of bread right there on the floor of the feet, right there on the floor of the boat, right there between their feet. And all that rowing, and as they were straining and going back and forth, perhaps that's there as a reminder that can remind them about what Jesus has just done just a few hours ago. We forget the miracles. That's why we can't be saved by miracles. We're saved by seeing Jesus. That's why miracles can't save us, because we forget the miracles. But when we're saved by a Savior, we don't forget the Savior. That dramatic event, that miracle that took place that drew us to Him, that will be soon forgotten. As amazing as it is, it'll be soon forgotten. But they had the miracle worker right there with them, looking on them, seeing what was taking place. But all they knew was their life was in danger. And they forgot the miracle that just took place. But yet they had a miracle worker. We don't have anything to worry about. We know if we go across the sea this time of night, a storm could come up. But we know Jesus. He's not going to let anything happen to us. Surely. But see, they knew Him as a miracle worker even to this point. But did they really trust in Him? Now, listen. Now, in this instant, instead of just making water into wine, instead of healing somebody else's son, instead of a little bit of food being enough to satisfy you and all these other miracles, we were healing the crippled man at the pool of Bethesda, instead of all this, now listen, it's not somebody else now. Now their lives are the ones at stake. Now they're the ones facing the storm. It's not, can you go do this for this guy over here? This guy needs some help. It's talking about me. It's about their faith now. See, we got to see more as a miracle worker. We got to trust our lives in Him. This is where the apostles are now. They've forgotten the miracle. They've got to trust in Him as a Savior. This is why we've got to get past the miracle and come to Jesus. We're gladdened by His presence, it says. Also in another way, though, as well. They forgot the miracle, but God also seemed to delay. He let them struggle for a little while. Why did he do that? Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 says this, "Therefore will the Lord wait that He may be gracious to you." Isaiah 30, 18 is where that is. "Therefore will the Lord wait that He may be gracious to you." Think about the healing of Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. We'll look at that in 2 weeks. That's the last miracle we'll look at in the Gospel of John. Had He done something different, wouldn't it have been better if He came before Lazarus ever died? Well, no. Jesus was trying to accomplish something far greater than just healing a dead man. He was trying to do something better, rather, should I say, than healing a sick man. They could say, well, He would have got better anyway. But if you wait till He's dead, and then you show up, and then you raise Him from the dead, you can't help but give God the credit for it. If these guys here saw a wind coming up that was just a mild wind, and they say, we better turn around and get back to the other side, there would have been no miracle. But if they're in there, and they're in the midst of it, and all they can do is cry out in agony and be in peril, be concerned about their own safety here, then God shows up, then that's the Lord's timing. Listen, I read this last week. God is never late, never ahead of time, never in a hurry. God is never late, He's never ahead of time, never in a hurry. We can be gladdened by His presence. Are you gladdened by His presence? The fifth anchor for us to hold on to. Oh, they're getting better and better, too. I like this one. This is one of my favorites here, anyway. We are guarded by His power. Someone has said that God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. That's worth writing down. God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep ye. He told them to go to the other side. He didn't say anything in his instruction about going halfway and giving up, did he? He said, go to the other side. And if he told them to go to the other side, he's the one that initiated this thing. It was his plan. He started it. His order. If he sends you on a task, he's going to see you through to the other side. Not halfway. Look at verse 20. And he said to them, it is I. Do not be afraid. You know what it is high literally says? It says, he says to them, do not be afraid. We just sang about it a minute ago. I am. That's what it's saying there. I am. He's the great I am. I am comes from the book of Exodus when Moses says, who should I say sent me? He said, I am sent me. I am is a declaration of power. I am is a proclamation of presence. I am is an announcement of abundance. Jesus is the I am in the midst of your storm. He's the great I am. We're guarded by his power. Mari, that song was perfect a while ago. I tell you what, I didn't even realize that phrase was in there till we were singing it. And I said, man, that works pretty good. God worked that out way ahead of time. I like that. He's the great I am, and we can trust in him. But here's even the better part. Well, I don't know if it's better. Here's another good part. How's that? What's their biggest problem right now in the boat? What's their biggest problem? I'm not talking about their lack of faith or anything like that. What is it that's causing them trouble? It's the storm that's causing them trouble. It's rocking their boat, and I can just imagine that I've been on some rough lakes before, and I can just see what it is they're facing. Well, what's their biggest fear? What's going to happen? Their biggest problem is the storm. What can physically happen in that storm to cause them problems? The water that's sloshing up all over the boat, all around them, the waves are coming over. The problem is that the water's going to come in and what? Come over their head. That's their problem. That would be a problem, wouldn't it? I would think it would be a problem. I don't know if you would think it'd be a problem, but I wouldn't welcome that. I wouldn't be excited about it. Wouldn't want to be there. The water's over the head. Where did Jesus walk? Jesus was walking where? On the water. The thing that they feared the most is what Jesus was walking on. Last week, I think it was, the choir sang, nothing is impossible when it's over my head. It's what? It's under your feet. Remember that. When your problems are over your head, they're under the feet of Jesus. And I looked up where the phrase under his feet is found in the scriptures. It's in there a bunch. I tell you something. All these things that we would fear, all these problems that we're concerned with, they're going to be subdued by Jesus. But it's the same thing for the problems that we face in our lives now. If it's over our head, we have to know that it's under his feet. Oh, Jesus is the I am in the midst of the storm. He's guarded us by his power. And the last point, the last anchor, we are guided by his purpose. We are guided by his purpose. God has not promised us smooth sailing. Look what happened. Then they willingly received him into the boat. Well, I think that's a good thing to do when Jesus comes and solves your problems. You welcome him into your boat. You welcome him to even into your life. But immediately it says, the boat was at the land where they were going. See, God's purpose was being fulfilled. They were in the midst of the sea. They had rowed for 3 or 4 miles. They had 3 or 4 miles yet to go. Yet when Jesus arrived, God's purpose was accomplished. It was fulfilled. They was on the other side. The Bible says, he who has begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to fulfill his purpose in you regardless of the storms that's in your life. And God's promises this to us forever. The message of this miracle is that God will see you through. Have you got that? You're facing a trouble? Say it with me. God will see you through. That's the heart of this miracle. That to give you confidence to know that God will see you through. Well, whatever it is that's over your head, it is under his feet. Do you see that? Don't miss it. If you miss that, you've missed it all. We can trust in the great I am. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much that you provided for us.